The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, Irish comedian Ristard Cooper, who's best known among many things as one third of the comedy group Après Match, is in the midst of touring his very first solo show, which is called Out of His Head. It's a mix of impressions and cultural nostalgia and brand new characters too. And he's here. Hello.
Hello.
I've described your show there, and I think I probably didn't get the essence of it, but it's the cultural nostalgia thing that I'm really interested in.
You couldn't have quite captured the incredible nuance.
Well, I couldn't, because it's not my show. So what is it, and why are you doing this very brave thing on your own?
I know, I must be a bit mad. Out of His Head, I mean, I suppose it comes from the fact that I've had a whole load of material in my head for quite a while. And my background, I suppose, is between theatre, doing straight plays as an actor, and also then, I suppose, doing impressions and with Après Match. Mm-hmm. But I haven't really had an opportunity to do this material before. And I just thought, you know, I did a work in progress version of it in the Viking in Clontarf, and the response to it was actually so much better than I thought.
They liked it.
They actually liked it, and you know, it's obviously a bit of a shot in the dark when you're doing stuff on your own, and you know, I was kind of reminded before I went on stage the first time doing that version of the one man show. I was reminded of myself as a kid when I was four, which was my first day in school, and it was actually, you know, it all came flooding back to me of just being left on your own. And I went to Scoil Bhreada in Ranelagh, and but just that vision of my parents sort of leaving. And
my God, I feel sorry for you now. So that's what it feels like when you're standing out there on your own, waiting for people to laugh.
Well, now I'm a bit more kind of relaxed and a bit more comfortable about the whole thing.
That's good.
So I'm not crying backstage or anything now anymore. Before going on, but it is, I suppose, in terms of the task of being on your own. Mm. And but having said that, like, I'm having great crack. I'm having loads of great crack, and I'm having good fun with the punchers. That, like, I did a gig in Drogheda last Saturday, the Drogheda Arts Centre, and you know what I realised, that a lot of people don't book, you know. So I was thinking, oh Jesus, like, you know, people aren't booking here.
They just rock up
on the day. Mm. A brilliant audience, absolutely brilliant audience, and just...
What is a brilliant audience to your mind?
I think just very responsive, very alive to you going off piste. And obviously, the show is very, it's heavily scripted, and it's me, I suppose, narrating my way through various sketches that I set up and various realities and various personalities that are very familiar to the Irish cultural landscape. You're not included, Claire, but you know, maybe at the end of this interview, I will include you.
I have been told that an impression of me cannot be done by other people who do impressions. Well, I'm delighted about that.
we'll have to wait and see about that. And I think you might be right. I think there's a vocal thing, I think, where you just sort of go, you know, some people have a certain register or a certain delivery, and you just kind of go, okay, I can't go there.
How did I do that trick?
I don't know. If you were Katie Taylor now, it'd be slightly different. Because she has a sort of, you know, that sort of thing. Where's she going if her voice breaks? And even if you're doing it an octave below, it's still recognisably her. I hope that was recognisable.
It is recognisably Katie.
But yeah, it's like, for example, I suppose I look back on, you know, the way television and you know, cultural flagships were presented, and mm-hmm. the way they were celebrated and the way they were perceived and welcomed or not by an Irish audience. And for example, one of the things, and I don't want to give too much material away, but one of the things I look back on is Housewife of the Year, for example, and how that was just acceptable. And how, I mean, I looked at a clip of it on YouTube recently from 1983. And I mean, just some of the lines that Gay Byrne says. Now, here she is, Mary from Dunloe, and isn't she fabulous? And does she not, doesn't even look at her, does she or does she not look like a cook?
But we watched that. I remember watching that. Go, God, these aren't these great women? And yeah. You know, I was probably thinking, it's a pity my mother now wouldn't fit in up there or couldn't, you know, be one of those. I wanted my mother to be one of those women.
I know. No, I can understand. I mean,
she could have been. By the way, if she's listening, she could have been. She could have been.
She could have been. Of course, if she had really wanted to,
if she'd applied. She would have won it.
Yeah, of course, without a shadow of a doubt. But would you? And you would have wanted her
That time. Yeah. I would have wanted her to win. Yeah. Housewife of the Year. That would have been aspirational.
I know, and it's extraordinary that the winning prize that they were all fighting over, and it was like this is a very it was almost
what
like
was the prize
the Rose of Tralee.
The title. For,
yeah.
Did you get an oven? Did you get?
You got an oven. Oh, you got a cooker.
Mm.
And yes. What is your favorite dish? And you'd like so you describe what your favorite dish is, and essentially how you might have lured the hubby into into marriage by basically providing a certain dish for them,
cooking a good casserole.
Exactly. Cooking a good old casserole will get Micheál up the aisle.
And so do you, included in those cultural references, do you talk about current affairs and how it was covered? Like, do you go back
yes.
to
yeah.
Today Tonight and all of that stuff?
Not quite Today Tonight, but I do, for example, things like the pandemic and how that was depicted
mm-hmm.
and RTÉ's role in that. And I suppose also, and how these people became very famous in our heads all of a sudden, like in our living rooms. People like Luke O'Neill and Tony Houlihan and
Paul Reid, you know, from the HSE. And he's going on about the figures and the 300,000 of the over 70s should be vaccinated either this week or next month. But we're having trouble getting the syringes. We have the syringes, but we don't have the doses.
And plenty of doses, all right, in the HSE, says you. But anyway.
I hope Paul is fishing somewhere now because he earned his fishing trips, if that's what he's into.
I know. But there's all that. And also your former colleague who's taken over your role in RTÉ, David McCullough, who says things like he doesn't quite believe them himself. He kind of has that delivery, you know? Yeah, apparently.
Skeptical.
So there's a bit of that, so I'm not going like way back to Today Tonight
okay.
in terms of politics, but current affairs, I mean, what the world is facing now. I mean, to some extent, I mean, Trump enters the equation, obviously, but it's more how people react around Trump. That's my take on it, as mm-hmm. opposed to doing. Like, I do an impression of Trump, but it's not about that. The humour I'm mining, I hope, is more around people walking on eggshells around him.
I don't know if you heard that Steve Witkoff clip that I just played coming into the hour where he was asked, how long will the war continue? And he just does not know what to say.
Yeah.
So he pauses and he defaults. He goes, all I know is that Donald Trump is someone you don't want to mess with. So they're just programmed,
yeah.
aren't they? Just
they are.
Saying nice things about Donald.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what else you do or say. Say nice things about the
Absolutely.
Boss.
Absolutely. And he obviously surrounds himself, hires people who are essentially kind of goons and, you know, are yes men, terrified of him. And I presume that's, you know, pretty much why his administration is so full of people who are unqualified to do their jobs. Mm-hmm. I mean, one might say moronic. I hope to get into America someday soon, so I won't say that. So,
someone wants to remember your mother.
Ah, yeah.
Coich Cooper in the 80s. She taught me music and Irish.
Ah, that's right.
In Loretto in Crumlin, a force of nature and a wonderful lady.
That's right. She, Coich Lanigan Cooper, as she was known. She's amazing influence on my life. She died quite young. She died when she was 72. But she had a big influence over a lot of people, especially in the music world and through education in Loretto mm-hmm. Crumlin. And yeah, she was a music and Irish teacher. And herself and my dad actually met in the old Radio Éireann Singers. They're both singers. My mother was a soprano.
As are you.
I'm a bit of a singer. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't be as good as them now.
Classically trained, though, aren't you?
I am classically trained. Yeah. When I left school, I didn't know what to do with myself, so I got into the College of Music to study classical singing, and I was a baritone. But it's kind of, you know, that world for me felt a little bit restrictive and you know, a little bit formal, and I wanted to have more crack, you know, I suppose. And I didn't have the discipline. That's my way of saying it,
but
really.
But because your parents had an insight into the arts because they were interested in singing and music. Did they understand that? Was that okay?
Yes, it was. And it was, there was never any hint of them saying, like, you really should get a proper job or work in the bank or whatever. I think they were delighted. First of all, I wouldn't have had the, you know, the clout academically to get into a bank. Because I had zero interest in school. I mean, I had interest in English and interest in certain subjects. But I was mainly kind of just interested in the arts and some form of expression. I don't know, really. Mm-hmm. But I said this the other day, but I was kind of, you know, my main memory from school is looking out the window and wishing I was outside doing anything else rather than listening to economics.
So you were considered a dead last, were you?
I was. That's basically what I'm trying to say. So there was no other option, and for me to do anything else. So I was actually, my sister saw an ad in the paper. My sister Eileen saw an ad in the paper like that they were accepting people into Trinity to do this formal drama training, mm-hmm. and so I auditioned for that, and I got in. And but I was always, even in school, like I did, you know, the musicals in school and the school plays, and you know, like a lot of actors or a lot of comedians, there was an English teacher in their lives that made a huge difference, a massive influence. So,
and in mine, you know,
right? Well,
as
that's
well,
really
an incredible woman who showed me that you learn through doing the debates. That, you know, that feel at the time when you're in school sort of scary.
Yeah.
And she explained to me, if you want to do what you think you want to do, then you've got to get up there and do it.
No, absolutely.
Amazing when you have somebody who believes in you at that critical age and stage in your life, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think it's a good thing in general. Like I, you know, was thinking lately since I've had my own kids that, you know, it's a really good thing, you know, to focus on, to get kids to train to do like public speaking. Mm. Like even if it's for 3 minutes or, you know, just to focus on that, because there'll come a point, no matter, even if you don't go into,
if you never
know,
do it again, just to have the experience of it.
Yeah.
Now, lots of shows are coming up.
Yeah.
But on Friday, that's tomorrow, you're in Dunleary, aren't you?
No, sorry. It's Friday week I'm in Dunleary. So it's the next show I'm doing is Friday, the 20th of March in Dunleary.
That's the 20th. Okay.
That's the 20th.
And tickets are available. You can walk in, but don't do that because you get scared that nobody's coming.
Yeah, tickets are available on my website, richardcooper.com/tour. I would like to say as well, I mean, Greystone's the following week on the 27th, but the ones I really want to push are April the 2nd in Tala, the Civic Theatre Tala, and April the 3rd, which is Good Friday in Westport Town Hall.
A great Friday in Westport.
Exactly. It'll be a great Friday if you go on Good Friday.
And you're also in Galway, in Cork, and in the Seamus Ennis Arts Centre in the Knoll as well. That's coming up to the end of the 25th of April. So the website again is Richard Cooper, and thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks
for
meeting
to see you.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.